We rise. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And the Lord will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the winding sheet that is spread over all nations. The Lord will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of the chosen people God will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God for whom we have waited, so that God might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. So let us be glad and rejoice in the salvation of the Lord." The word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, Christ appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and God's grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. They saw that the storm was all fair.
It was very
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. As we heard, neither the women at the tomb nor Jesus' disciples were able to say this on that first Easter morning. The women went away in fear, and the disciples were nowhere to be found. Talk about being afraid. What are they afraid of? Are they afraid that the material world, the laws of nature, have changed on them? That their suppositions of what is real has been turned upside down? Or more realistically, are they afraid that they might be blamed for stealing the body? Interestingly, in our story, the women don't actually arrive in fear, deep sorrow for sure, but the women actually arrive in a kind of peacefulness, which comes with a clarity of purpose. They come to the tomb in devotion, in piety. They are responsible, committed, loving. They know their role. They know their place. They know death. Of death, they don't seem to be afraid. They know how to handle it, how to bring closure. But resurrection, new life, a new age, a new world, a new me, that seemed to be terrifying. Resurrection brings forgiveness, a new age and a new calling, a new purpose, new people, a new relationship to others, and a new relationship to God. Now, as daughters and sons of the living God. But it seems so hard to give up the old. Our fear wants to take over. We ask, what could it mean to be forgiven, to live in a new age, to be called to bring healing to others and the world? Perhaps most notably and fearfully, what does it mean for us to forgive others? Can we really live that way? Is that what really scared the women? The truth of the resurrection, to live in a new world of forgiveness, a world in which old divisions, old grudges are erased, a world in which enemies are forgiven, to see Jesus. We didn't gather this morning to be critical of the women or the disciples for that matter. If we trust that we gather today as the community of Christ, that we read these stories for our lives, to find ourselves in them, to be ourselves true participants in the Easter story, believing that Jesus came for us, that he rose for us, then it seems that the writer, the story itself, and more particularly Jesus the Christ, is asking us, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid to live by faith? To live by forgiveness, to live by nonviolence? What if we did? What if we did live by forgiveness? That's a question asked. I'd mentioned this on Thursday evening at our Maundy Thursday service, a new book entitled Forgiveness Remembers. It's a book written by an Irish priest and a Protestant minister. Folks that were supposed to be at odds, at enmity with one another, but they found themselves through forgiveness in a world which they were friends. They had forgiven. Forgiveness rooted in Christ's own forgiveness brought them into a new relationship. I heard in an interview their question to us was, what would have happened if President Bush had spoken words of forgiveness after 9/11? Personally, I suspect we would not have had a phony war in Iraq. But fear ruled, and perhaps in our society it still does. Is there anything that seems so prevalent in our age than the fear that divides us, that overcomes us? A more recent resurrection witness is the forgiveness offered by that church in Charleston in which folks were shot at Bible class, yet there was forgiveness offered. And we can remember the Amish community similarly some years ago. Can we find it in our hearts to be forgiving, to trust that forgiveness will bring new life, that Christ is bringing new life from the very heart of God to us and for us. But I confess, I shudder like the women at the empty tomb. But don't be afraid, says that young person dressed in a tunic sitting on that slab in the tomb. Jesus is no longer in the place of fear, the place of death, and he has promised to take you with him. The deepest reality of the resurrection is that Jesus, going before us, promises to continue to forgive us. It's the essence of the resurrection, the place of faith, trust that Jesus is risen in us and transforming us, freeing us from the bondage to sin and fear and death. Jesus is taking us to Galilee, a new place, Galilee of the heart, a place of faith, trust that he is risen in us, transforming us. But Galilee is not simply a place in our hearts. It is, as the scripture says, the very realm of God, or to use the old terminology, the kingdom of God, a place, a new world of forgiveness where death is not used against others, even in times of fear or anger or sorrow. Death is not used to protect ourselves or to save ourselves. He is going before us. I made a big deal in this past Lent about wanting to see Jesus. He is going before us there in Galilee. We will see him. It is there, as he told you, and as he showed us in the ministry of healing and feeding, welcoming and forgiving all people. This Easter morn, the young person speaks to us, "Do not be afraid." And I wonder, is this young person like the young people now in our age who speak to us today, with the call to live in a new place, a place of life, a place that puts fear aside, to challenge the very culture of death? Jesus put his own fear aside, even unto the cross. Not that he wasn't afraid or wasn't angry, but he did not respond in kind. Fear did not rule his heart. And in his death and resurrection, he bore all the world's fears, yours and mine, to free us from our fear, from using it in death against others, of opposing God's will for life. This resurrection day, Jesus says, "Trust me, believe in me, I forgive you. Neither I nor God holds a grudge. I go before you, I live in you. I call you to follow. There you will see me." Sisters and brothers, there is a new place for us, a new life, resurrection life. Galilee, a new heart, a new mind, forgiveness and life, a new place for our lives of forgiveness, a community of faith and welcome, a place in the very heart of God, now and eternally. Christ is going before us as he promised. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
whole church, we confess our faith. We use the words of the Nicene Creed found in your worship folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our response for the prayers will be, hear our prayer. On this day of rejoicing, we pray for the life of the church, the world, and all people in need. You give life to your church by joining the baptized to the body of Christ. Bless the newly baptized, especially as we proclaim the one whose death and resurrection makes us one in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give life to the creation by renewing the earth in every season. Curb our exploitation of natural resources and cause us to preserve the health of plant and animal habitats. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give life to the world by laying a corner.